happy Easter and good morning. How are you? We invite you all to stand with us. We're excited you're here. My name is David. I'm the worship pastor. We've got an exciting morning planned. I hope you'll join us and sing.
And there is a truth that's older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. And there is one born of our salvation, Jesus. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is this kingdom that forever reigns. And there is freedom from the chains that bind us. It's Jesus. And who walks on the water, and who speaks to the sea, and who stands in the fire beside me. He rose like a lion, and he bled as the lamb. Oh, and he carries my healing in his hands. Oh, Jesus. There is a name I call in times of trouble. There is a song that comforts in the night. There is a voice, oh, that calms a storm that rages. He is Jesus, Jesus. Come on. Who walks on the water, who speaks to the sea, and who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, he bled as a lamb, and he carries my healing in his hands. Jesus. Messiah and my Savior, and there is power in your name, and you're my rock and my Redeemer, and there is power in your name, in your name. Sing it out. Who walks on the water, you speak to the sea, and you stand in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion, and you bled as a lamb, and you carry my healing in his hand. You speak to the sea, oh, oh, and you stand in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion, and you bled as the lamb, and you carry my healing in your hands. Jesus, oh, there is no one like you, Jesus. There is no one like you, Jesus. Who walks on the water, who speaks to the sea, he stands in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion, you bled as the lamb, and you carry my healing in his. Jesus. For there is no one like you, Jesus.
So, happy Easter. Obviously, this morning is going to be a little bit different. We are going to do a drama that will account a couple of the last events that occurred in Jesus' life. And today will be a story about redemption, a story of hope. What redemption is basically God taking the broken and making it beautiful. You know, we all live in a broken world and we're all broken personally in relationships. You know, we operate under a broken government and broken environment. We just live in a broken world. And before the cross, we were hopeless. But Jesus left heaven to come to earth, to be born of a virgin, to make a way, to give himself on the cross so that we could have a way. And so today we're going to see that story of redemption. And I want to encourage you this morning. This story of redemption can be your story. I don't know where you're at in life. I don't know what brokenness has occurred in your life. You know, we all have it. We all have broken relationships, broken things that happen, our past. We have distrust. You know, we live in those moments. And this morning, our prayer is that through the message of the cross, that we will be able to have victory in life. You know, 3 years ago on March 19th, my son was born. And so for about the first 8 hours, it was an awesome thing. You know, we were just playing with our baby boy. And then after 8 hours, we had a pediatric cardiologist come in and said they detected a murmur and he wanted us to go to that was on a Thursday. He said, on Monday, we want you to come back and we want you to have some tests done. And so, you know, we had so many people tell us, you know, a lot of babies are born with murmurs. It's probably nothing. I wouldn't even worry about it. So that Monday morning, you know, kind of nonchalantly, we get up, we get our son ready, and we go to this pediatric cardiologist. And so we get there, and he runs all this test, and he tells us, go sit in his office. So we're just sitting there visiting, and he comes into the office, and he gives us the most devastating news we could have heard. He says, this hole in your son's heart is extremely massive. And if he doesn't have surgery, he will die. And he said, the next couple months will be extremely difficult for y'all. He said, every time your son eats, he's going to throw it back up. He's not going to be able to put on weight. But we need to do whatever we can to extend the older he is, the better survival chance he has. And so we walk out of this office and we go and we sit in the car. And I'll never forget that walk of walking and just sitting in our car. And me and my wife, you know, we put our son in the back and we just sit there and we're just crying. We didn't know what to think. We didn't know what to say. Like, we didn't even look at each other. We're just in this trance, right? We're in this state. And then It's kind of getting a little hot. So I put the keys in the ignition and I turn the car on. And the song that comes on the radio is a song that says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Now think about that for a second. I'm encapsulated with fear right then. That's the only emotion I can think about is fear. And I hear the words, because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, life is worth living because Jesus lives. See, guys, the term he is risen and the empty grave, it's not just something we say. What occurred 2,000 years ago of Jesus conquering death, Jesus conquering hell, Jesus conquering sin, and giving it to us, it's important for us today. In the broken world we live in, we can have hope. We can have redemption. The story of redemption can be your story. God wants to move in us. God wants to empower his beloved children to live victorious lives. And so that's what the drama is going to be about today. About redemption, about hope, and about victory. I want to pray over us before we get started. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. God, we thank you, Lord, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That, Lord, we don't deserve your love, but because of your grace, you give it to us. So, Father, I pray over every heart in this room that, Father, we will be vulnerable to what you want to do in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, we thank you and we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do you remember how all this started? The very first time that we met Jesus. And there wasn't much that he said to us at first, but I remember the words that he did say. I'll never forget them. He looks at us and he says, James and Andrew, I want you to leave your nets, I want you to leave your boats, and I want you to follow me.
You know, James, you're right. I don't even remember why we even followed him, but I do remember that authority in his voice. Just something you couldn't deny. Right then and there, I knew that man was going to do miraculous things.
Exactly. Just like the day that we met Mary Magdalene, and she was possessed by all those evil spirits. I remember Jesus, he looked at her, he says, I command you to leave. And instantly she was freed. The demons, they fled in fear of this ordinary man. And even after that, he healed Peter's mother-in-law too.
That's not it. That's not all that he's done on this earth. We watched him heal. He turned water to wine. Lazarus was dead for 3 days before Jesus even raised him from the dead, as if he never died. This man was doing amazing things. We didn't even know how this was happening.
Exactly. Just like the day in Bethsaida. That was the day that he healed the blind man. And after he did this, he looks at us and he says, who do people say that I am? And I remember hearing a couple of different things. I heard, well, Elijah and John the Baptist. And finally, I heard Jeremiah.
And then Jesus looks at us again and he says, who do you say I am?
And Peter was the only one that I heard speak up. He says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And right then and there, that's whenever I finally realized how he did the things that he did. It's because he had the power of God living inside of him. He had the authority of God wherever he went. But even after realizing this, in the very next breath, he tells us, but now I must go to Jerusalem. And when I get to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to suffer greater than anyone's ever suffered. And Jerusalem is going to be a place that I die. But don't worry, because I'm going to be raised up again.
This makes no sense. How could this even happen? He had a supernatural power to do anything. How could he die at the hands of ordinary men? But even after telling us this, he still spoke with that authority of God.
You're right. There are so many things that we just couldn't explain. We couldn't explain them. But it was the night in the garden when we were praying with him and Peter and we had fallen asleep. And I remember the Pharisees, they came with 1,000 soldiers to arrest Jesus. And when we awoke the next morning, Peter wanted to fight them. He wanted to fight them off, but Jesus wouldn't let him. Jesus wouldn't even fight them off. He wouldn't run away. He wouldn't do anything. He let them take him.
He was our king. He came to save us. Where is that power and authority that God had given him?
It was the very moment that they placed the shackles on his wrists. That's whenever I began to doubt. Was he who he says that he was? Was he the Son of God? Because of a man with such power and such authority, there's no way that an ordinary man could shackle him like that. And I remember how afraid I was. So afraid that that was going to be the day. That was going to be the day that all of us died. Only because we were standing right there alongside of him.
I know, James. I was afraid too. But I knew right there that we had to go find Mary and the others and tell them what we found out.
John, I remember the moment that you came to my house that morning to tell me that Jesus had been arrested. I was overcome with fear. I couldn't imagine what was happening. I mean, if they had arrested Jesus, what was going to come next? I mean, Jesus had power. We saw him heal the lepers. We saw him take the blind man and tell him to see. And the lame, he said, stand up and walk. And they did. John, we know his power. He knew what was going to happen. He didn't let them take him. He chose to go, John. He chose to go.
I know, Mary. I was so scared. I ran. I don't even know where Peter and Andrew and the rest of the disciples even went. All I really knew was that I had to find you. And I had to tell you exactly what happened. And later, I went to look where they had taken Jesus. And I met up with Peter. And we heard a centurion say that they were taking him to a high priest for questioning. And I knew one of the high priests, so I knew that I would be allowed to get a little closer, maybe be there for the questioning. So we decided to follow him to the courtyard. When we got there, Peter decided to stay back a little bit, and he warmed himself by a fire. And while he was there, a little girl came up to him and said, "Well, weren't you with Jesus? Weren't you one of the ones that was with him?" And Peter says, "No, that wasn't me. You're wrong." A few minutes later, somebody else comes by and says, "I'm pretty sure I saw you with Jesus." And again, Peter's like, "No, that wasn't me. You got it all wrong." And the third time, somebody comes up and says, Surely you were with Jesus." And the third time, Peter denies it. He says, "No, that wasn't me. You have it all wrong. I'm not one of them." And at that exact moment, there was a rooster that crowed. And Peter began to weep. And he ran away. The room was so loud. There was shouting and there was screaming and pushing and shoving. And there was people telling lies about Jesus and telling false stories. And that's when Annas said, "He said, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" And Jesus boldly said, he said, "I am." The reaction to Jesus' answer was complete chaos. They begin to rip their clothes and protest. And Annas screams again. He said, "You speak blasphemy. You claim to be the Son of God?" And the crowd was in an uproar and they began to scream, "He deserves death. Take him to Pilate. He will surely kill him." And that's exactly what they did. They took him to the governor, Pilate. But Pilate couldn't find any reason that Jesus actually deserved death. And he didn't want the death of Jesus Christ on his own hands. So he decided to give the crowd and the religious leaders a choice. They could choose to either release Jesus or release a man named Barabbas. And they chose to release Barabbas. I mean Barabbas. Barabbas was a murderer. But before Pilate could even think of what he was going to make Jesus' punishment, the crowd began to scream, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" I couldn't be there any longer, and I just had to leave.
On the hill of Calvary, the light of all the world, with the world on his shoulders, the weight of all our shame on him who knew no sin. Holy surrender. The sky went dark and the angels wept. The Father looked away. Kind old breath, he bowed his head. The Lamb of God was slain. And by his wounds I am set free. by His blood I've been redeemed. The great divine He crossed for me. Oh, praise the God of Calvary. On the hill of Calvary, to the Father's hand, holy surrender, a borrowed tomb, oh, His mother went, there His body lay. Stone was moved as He conquered death. The land rose from the grave. By His wounds I am set free. By His blood I've been redeemed. The great divine He crossed for me. And oh, praise the God of Calvary. And if I never, never lose sight of this place, I will never, never lose sight of Your grace. And the cross is all, it's all I need to see. Praise the God of Calvary. And if I never, never lose sight of this place, no, I will never, never lose sight of Your grace. The cross is all I need to see. By His wounds I am set free, and by His blood I've been redeemed. The great divine He crossed for me. No, praise the God of Calvary. For the cross is all, it's all I need to see. Oh, praise the God of Calvary.
Mary, where were you after the trial?
John, I stayed there for a while, and I was near the road, and that's when I heard just shoving and shouting and just all kind of commotion coming towards me. And that's when I saw the soldiers. They were dragging someone. They were spitting at him and mocking him. So I pushed my way through the crowd, and when I got closer, that's when I saw that it was Jesus. My Jesus, my Savior. And I knew where they were taking Him. They were taking Him to the center of the courtyard, to the stone. And I knew at that very moment they were going to flog Him.
Chain Him down. Governor Pilate has ordered that we break this man that these people call him a king. Just look at him. Does he even look like a king to you?
I didn't know.
Mighty King Jesus. If you're this mighty king everyone talks about, where's your army? But we're going to honor you as a king today, King Jesus.
But King, haven't we honored you enough with your royal crown? But don't worry. I'll give you this royal robe just to show how good of a king you are.
By orders of Governor Pilate, you are to be flogged for your crimes against Rome and the Jewish people. Governor Pilate wants him to suffer. Don't hold back. Hit him again. And again. And again. And again.
Sir, look at this man. He's no king.
Some king you are.
They beat him, and they mocked him. I heard them say that they were going to take him to Golgotha to be crucified. And I knew that I had to be there. So I made my way down a side street. That's whenever I saw Jesus on the road. He was so weak. He fell to the ground, and he looked up at me. He was just so broken and weary. I began to weep. I fell to my knees. And I cried out, Jesus, I am so sorry that I left you. I couldn't move. I continued to cry. I was worried that the guards would come and arrest me too. So I stayed here until the roads were clear. And slowly, I made my way up the hill. And whenever I got there, I saw and heard the centurion yell,
bind him down. Some king you are today. The rebellion against the Jewish people and king and the Roman people and Caesar ends today. By orders of Governor Pilate, you are to die on this cross today. Raise him up. Some king you are, Jesus. Maybe we should sound the trumpet so your army will come for you. You, the king of these people who call you king.
Father, forgive them.
He is called to his God to forgive us. What?
It is finished.
Later, after Jesus had been crucified, Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate to see if he could have Jesus' body so it could be prepared for burial. That's when Nicodemus went to him, and he brought spices and oils and herbs. And they anointed Jesus' body and wrapped him in linen and laid him in the tomb. And they rolled a great stone in front of the entrance.
Perfect sacrifice. You pulled me
out of the grave.
I still remember so clearly. We woke early in the morning. I went with Mary, Jesus' mother, and some of the other women that loved Jesus. We wanted to go to the grave, and we wanted to bring oils and spices. We wanted to make sure that our Lord and our King had a proper burial. We were worried about moving the stone because they had placed it towards the entrance. But the closer we got, we realized that the stone was gone. I became very afraid. I thought, first they've killed him, and now they've taken his body. But the closer we got, we saw an angel of the Lord in the tomb. And he said to us, I know who you're looking for. I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene. But he's not here. He is risen and he's alive. And Peter, he told me to find you, Peter, and the other disciples and tell them what we had seen and heard, that our Lord was risen.
Mary, I will never forget that morning. I was tired. I couldn't sleep. They had crucified our Jesus, our Messiah, the one promised to us by God himself. And then I remember hearing a voice in the distance. It was a scream. I couldn't quite make out what was going on, but it seemed like within seconds, you were in the room with us. And you were shaking and you were frail. And I was like, what's wrong, Mary? And you were screaming. And finally, after a few seconds, I heard what you said. He's alive. He's alive. I remember grabbing John and we took off to the tomb. And as I'm running, Mary, it seemed like a dream. I could barely move. My feet seemed like they weighed a ton. And I started to think, what if they stole his body? Or what if he really did rise? If he rose, I was thinking, how could he ever forgive me for what I did? There's no way that he could ever love me or forgive me for what I've done to him. I denied him 3 times, Mary, 3 times. There's no way that I was good enough for him. I told him that I loved him, but I denied him. I remember getting to the tomb and John was already there. And I remember just passing right by John and he was empty. The tomb was empty. What he told us was the truth. He conquered death and he rose on that 3rd day. Later, he got all of us. And I remember him telling us that he died for everyone, that he came back to redeem mankind. I remember that how I felt that he asked for me in particular that night to come and see. Later, we met again on the beachfront and he told me, he said, Peter, do you love me? I said, Jesus, you know that I love you. He said, feed my sheep. He asked me again, Jesus, do you love me? I said, Jesus, you know that I love you. He said, tend to my sheep. He asked me a 3rd time, Mary, Jesus, do you love me? I mean, Peter, do you love me? I said, Jesus, I cannot love you the way that you love me. But I want you to be supreme in my life. He said, feed my sheep, Mary. He restored me. He brought me back. He made me a new man. The truth of it is, he did the same thing for you, Mary. And he did it for everyone here this morning. He redeemed all of us if we put our faith in him.
Amen. This morning, the question is, what's your faith, hope, and trust in? Is it in ourselves? Is it in our idols? Is it in our church? Or our denomination. You see, Jesus hung on, left heaven and came to earth to hang on the cross so that we can be set free. Colossians 2:14. Let's see what Colossians 2:14 it says. It says he canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. What does that mean? That means each and every one of our sins, those of us who have been forgiven, those of us who have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it says he's taken all those records against us and he nailed it to the cross. 1 Peter 2:24 says this. It says he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. By his wounds, you are healed. This morning, is that true for you? Is that true for you? You see, John 3:16 says, "So for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." This morning, the redemption story could be yours. No matter how broken you are, no matter what's been done to you, no matter how much sin is in your life, this morning, God wants to meet you where you are. That's what Easter is about. A God who loved us enough to leave heaven, to come to earth, to die on the cross. See, because of Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So Jesus came to be that ultimate sacrifice for you and me. And so this morning, we're going to pray and we're going to have some men and women up here. We're going to have some men and women in the back. And we just want to give you the opportunity to respond to the message of the cross this morning. The message of redemption. The message of God taking what is broken in your life and making it beautiful. See, sometimes God's answer is no. He chose to save my son. But there are people out here who the answer was no. So this isn't some type of prosperity gospel. But Romans 8:28 says God can use all things for the good of those who love him and called according to his purpose. So he can take the most broken situation and make it good. And so this morning, we want to give you that opportunity. Matthew 5 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God is here right now wanting to accept you with open arms. So if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to give you that opportunity to come forward and pray with someone. Maybe you're in here and you have been born again. But if you're honest with yourself, you haven't been living like it. The message of the cross is not profound in your life. You've been chasing your own dreams. You've been living life your own way, and it's left you empty. And so this morning, we want to give you the opportunity to respond to the Lord. Maybe this morning, you just need to worship for what he's done. Whatever that means, whatever that looks like, we want to encourage you this morning to not leave this place the same you came in. Because the message of the cross is too powerful. The love of our God is too strong. So no matter where we are, I want to encourage you to respond. Whether you come pray at the altar, come pray with one of these people in front or in the back, or just worship at your seats. Let's stand and we're going to pray and let's just respond to whatever the Lord wants to do this morning. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we praise you. God, we just pray that our story will be a story of redemption. Father, that we've tried to do it on our own. We've tried to find satisfaction in money, in power, in prestige, in things, in popularity, in lust, in relationships. And all of those things will leave us empty. So, Father, this morning I pray that our pride will be put aside. And that, Father, we will leave this place differently than we came. Not because of a play, not because of music, not because of a sermon, but because of your presence. Father, we pray that we will lay down our pride this morning. And that we'll respond to you. However you pull us. However you call us. Lord, we love you. We praise you. And we thank you in Jesus' name.
You are the Word of the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. You're hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love's greater. Oh, what could separate us? And now, what a wonderful name. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name.
Lord, we thank you for the power. We thank you that Romans 8:11 says the same power that conquered the grave lives in us. God, we thank you that as Jesus hung on the cross, his last words were, "It is finished." And that means we cannot earn our salvation. We cannot earn our way to heaven. It's finished. It's done. It's been taken care of. Now it's a matter of us coming before you and surrendering our lives to you. God, so often we try to live this life on our own and we mess it up. And Father, I pray that, Lord, we will leave this place differently than we came. I pray that we will remember the true meaning of why we celebrate today. And that is our resurrected King, who gives us power over our sin, who gives us power over our bondage, who gives us power over the unfulfilled promises of this world. God, I pray for any heart in here that's still stirring, that, Lord, they will not leave this building without talking to a pastor or an elder or somebody who can pray with them and point them to Scripture. God, we thank you, we love you, and we praise you in Jesus' name.